Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to start this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll start there this morning. We're still in a series. This is number 6 on accessing grace. Grace is powerful. Amen. But I want, and we've talked about how to access it. When I began, you know, the Lord began dealing with me about preaching on this. It's kind of like He laid up, you preach on this, then preach on that, then preach on that, then preach on that. And this may be the last thing I preach on right now on this subject, or I may preach one more, but that'll be after I come back. But one of the things He said to talk about is preach on financial grace. Because there's a lot of the church that doesn't believe there's any such thing, and we'll even fight you over it. But let's just let the Bible talk to us. Amen. One man, I've always wished I'd have thought this up, has a saying: for something to be scriptural, it has to have scriptures. All right. I wish I'd thought that's a great saying, but anyway, it's true. If it's scriptural, it has to have scriptures. If it has scriptures, it is scriptural. So let's just see if we have some scriptures on the fact that there is something called financial grace. All right, let's find 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 6. Paul said, "This I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully." So we determine our size of our harvest. And you know, sparingly and bountifully isn't necessarily a number, it's ability. Does that make sense to you? You could, the widow woman sowed too much. Jesus said she sowed more than everybody else. But what she gave wasn't much, but it was a lot in God's eyes. Amen. And I've seen people like that. They didn't have much, but they always gave. Oh man, they've sowed a lot. Amen. Every man, this is talking about, you know, giving, not tithing here. Every man as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity or out of compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace. All grace. That means there's more than just one grace. There's all grace. Abound towards you. I mean, it's all the grace of God, but it has different facets. All grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. I want to start out by talking about this because I think we need to define some things, because I've probably over the years, and I think this is true with anybody that has dared to preach on the fact that God would bless you financially, have probably gotten more flack over that than anything else, which is amazing to me because people seem to like money. If I was giving away $100 bills after the service, most of you would show up, I would think. And so, because that's our medium of exchange in this system that we live in the natural. And so, if you even say the word biblical prosperity in some churches, you're done. They're done with you. They'll shut you off because they have been taught that. Some even have been taught that God wants you poor. But certainly that God doesn't care anything about your finances. And I kind of get it. I understand because, you know, one of the things that happens is that you get people on both sides of the ditch. You got a ditch over here that says God doesn't care anything about your finances. There's no such thing as biblical prosperity. You can't sow and you can't reap. God will not bless you for your giving, et cetera, et cetera. And then you have over here, you got guys that are preaching, you know, God wants us all to be multimillionaires, drive luxury cars and have Rolex watches. Well, I don't think God minds you having a few million dollars. I don't think he minds you having a luxury car. I don't think he minds you having a Rolex watch. People will, but I don't think God does. Because compared to what he has, it's trash. You get that? If God is so big into poverty, then he needs to remodel heaven. Maybe I should say he needs to demodel heaven. Amen. He needs to downgrade. No, both of those, we get extremes on both sides. And I'm not saying God won't at times take people and make them very rich, but he has a purpose in it. It's not just so they can consume it on their lust. It's so they can be a giver and be a blesser. See, he's got a purpose. Now, he doesn't mind them being blessed in the midst of that, but that's not, and he does want us all blessed, but he's got a deeper purpose than that. He told Abraham, I will bless you and make you a blessing, and I will bless you and you shall be a blessing. See, I'll bless you. You're going to be blessed, son, but I'm doing it so you can be a blessing. I'm convinced there are people that God blesses financially so they can be a blessing to other people and to the kingdom of God. Amen. And to the church, right? And for the gospel's sake. Amen. So you have both those sides. So what is biblical prosperity? I really believe that one of the greatest definitions of biblical prosperity is right here in verse 8. God's able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things can abound to every good work. How many love abounding to every good work? I've said this, it hasn't come to pass yet, but I'm still on the earth, okay? I've said this for years, and those of you who know me for 20, 30 years, you've heard me say it before. Someday, Phyllis and I are going to be in a church someplace, sitting on the front row, probably getting ready to preach, and they're going to be taking up an offering for their building fund to build a new building, and we're going to pay for the whole thing, whatever they need left. I don't know what that amount be, but whatever. I'm not there yet. I don't have it yet, but I'm still confessing it. Amen. It's just in my heart to do it. It's in my heart. Amen. I don't have in my heart to buy me a Bentley or a Rolex. I don't have it. That's not in my heart. If that happens, I'll shout. Hope you shout with me. That's not my heart. My heart is to be able to bless somebody really big. Amen. Be able to bless a church really big. And so that hasn't happened yet, but I've been saying it since late 80s, maybe early 90s. I've been saying that because it just came in my heart to someday do that. And so I don't know when it's going to happen, but if it happens the day before the Lord comes, I go to be with him, well, then it happened. Amen. But I'm just making a point. I believe in Bible prosperity. All right. Sometimes you need to define it because of what people have done with it, and all. And we've all seen the things on TV. Let me tell you, Christian TV, you better be very discerning when you watch it nowadays. Because not everything on there is Christian. It's just not. I'm sorry. You don't have to be judgmental, but you got to be discerning. You know what I'm saying? If you give $5,000 in my ministry within the next hour, then God's going to pay off your house. You can't tell people that. They might not even be living right. You don't know. You don't know. Could God do something like that? Well, sure he could. I've had him, multiply seed miraculously and things and all that. And so I do believe in it. I just don't believe we should push it beyond what the Bible says. Amen? So I'm going to talk to you about a couple things this morning because I found out, just to keep this basic, I found out there's a couple things that really are factors in you accessing financial grace. Number one is faith. You got to believe that it's available. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to receive from God. Number two, you have to be a generous person. I know that Phyllis and I have come up financially by being generous. I know this church has come up financially by being generous. By giving away thousands upon thousands of dollars, sowing it into other people's needs and ministries and things like that. And so I know that. And so I've just thought about it. I thought, well, what are the things that caused us? Because, I've told you this before. And, maybe you're at this place right now. But for years and years and years, when I went into a restaurant, I didn't get the food I really wanted. I bought the cheaper stuff. Amen. Now this isn't a big deal, but you know, I'm glad I'm eating better. He said, "I can tell, Pastor. Yep, you can tell I'm not hurting." But I used to say I had to order off the right side of the menu. What does that mean? The price side, not what I want side. Now I can go in there and order. I'm not bragging. I'm talking about the Lord. Help you understand what I'm saying. I can go in there and I don't have to really, I mean, I think about this side. Is it worth that? Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. But I don't have to think about, can I pay that? Right. Right? I don't have to get the $12 steak. I can get the $30 one if I want it. Might not want it, but if I want it. Right? Right? Right. See, it's a matter of what you desire, see? Amen. I don't have to go to the gourmet hamburger. I like Freddy's better anyway. All right, so you disagree with me. You have a right to be wrong. I've had guys, let's go to the gourmet hamburger and I'll eat it. I think, man, Freddy's better than that. And well, I know you have to stand in line. The ambiance isn't the greatest. But, you know, hey, I'm here to eat, not take pictures. Amen. So, I want to talk about this morning because here he says, he talks about finances and he says God's able to make grace abound towards you. So is there grace for finances? Yes. All right, look at the 8th chapter. I'm going to look at some scripture this morning. Is this all right? Yes. Look at the 8th chapter and look at verse 9. And and one thing you need to understand now, chapters 8 and 9, which we don't have time to read. We do have time, but I'm not going to take time to read that. It's talking about finances, money, giving. And verse 9, he says, "For you know the grace," what is it now? Grace. "Of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich," the word rich there means to be wealthy or increased with goods, "yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be," what's the Bible say? Rich. Now what happens to American people is they think about our definition of rich, but Paul gave us the definition of being rich or fully supplied is having abundance in all things, right? All right. So the word rich, like I said, it does mean, this is, you can look the word up, it means to be wealthy, to be increased in goods. But the word poor, now when it says that Jesus became poor so that you through his poverty might be rich, the word poor means this. It means seriously impoverished, lacking food, clothing, and the necessities of life. So, seriously impoverished. Nobody in this church is seriously impoverished. But, and it says he did that so that we might be what? Come on, you can say the word. Rich. Is that in the Bible? Right? I just read you a verse, didn't I? All right. So one paraphrase says it like this way. I like this. It says, in one stroke, he became poor and we became rich. In one stroke. What was the stroke? The stroke was the cross. Look at Deuteronomy 28. I'm just showing you something here out of the Word. I'm going to look at some scripture this morning. Deuteronomy 28, because I think it's important that if you have a Bible, that you lay your eyes on these things. I want you to see this. That because when you hear most of the church preach, they talk about at Calvary, Jesus bore our sins. Well, that's true, right? Yeah. Thank God for that. Amen. Our iniquities. Yeah. But it also says the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Yeah. And with his stripes, we are healed. So there was more atoned for at the cross than just forgiveness of sins. He brought us back. Everything that Adam lost through the fall, Jesus got it back plus. Romans uses the word much more. Much more. I love that. Much more. In other words, what Christ did was much more than what Adam did in the fall. In other words, he overpaid our redemption. Amen. You overpay your bill, you got some on account, right? Jesus overpaid the bill. We got some on account. Hallelujah. Ooh, I like that. Hallelujah. Now look at this, Deuteronomy 28. This is talking about the curse for breaking the law. And Deuteronomy 28, verse 47 says, because you serve not the Lord your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shall you serve your enemies, which the Lord shall send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in want or lack of all things. Let's stop right there. So that is a description of absolute poverty. Hunger, thirst, nakedness, lack everything. So when did Jesus become that? He wasn't that way in his ministry. He had a treasurer. When did he become that? At the cross, he lacked everything. He was stripped of everything. They even took his clothing. Took everything he had. Why did that come to pass? He did that for us. Paul said to the Galatians that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, this right here, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on us Gentiles through faith. Well, what was that? What was the blessing of Abraham? Well, Genesis 24:1 says God blessed him in all things. How many things?
All.
All things. It goes on to say that he was very, Genesis 13:1, he was very rich in cattle, silver, and gold. And God did it. Christ on the cross bore absolute poverty. He became poor. Hallelujah. So that we might become rich. Certainly, you know, people try to spiritualize that. Well, certainly there's truth to that. It's spiritual. We're more richer spiritually than we are physically. But it's in the context of the word's taught. You got to leave it in context. It's in the context where he's talking about money. There's no mistake about it. Yet we have people that don't believe that. That's too bad. I never understood a preacher get up and says, God doesn't want you to have anything, and then he takes up an offering. Yeah. You ought to help those people out, preacher. Amen. Amen. Can anybody think of some other scriptures? How about this? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. What? By who? By Christ Jesus. He became poor that we might be rich, that we might have a supply. And once again, I'm not saying God's going to make all of us millionaires and billionaires. And, you know, I hear that silliness. Man, some people in our own group preach that kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, where'd you get that at? I'm a word guy. At least I try to be. I don't care if it's my own friends that preach it. And if it's not, and I don't care if it's me that's preaching. There's things I preached I wish I could take back. I want to buy the tapes back. Thank God nobody's got anything to play them on now. You know what I'm saying? I think, where did I get that at? It wasn't like heresy was going to damn anybody, but just like I took the scriptures and pushed them beyond what they were saying. That happens a lot. How many of those? There's such thing as called rightly dividing the word, which means you take everything the Bible says about that subject and put it all together. Amen?
Yes.
Just think about this. Is it wrong to run a red light? Some of y'all say, well, I haven't gotten in trouble doing it yet. You just ain't been caught. It's wrong, right? It's against law. Have you ever seen an ambulance run one? You ever see a fire truck run one? You ever see a policeman run one? You ever see your husband run one? How many know when he does it, it's against the law, right? See, there's more to it than just it's illegal to run a red light. There's some exemptions there. See, you got to put everything together. I mean, if an ambulance runs a red light and you go pull them off, citizen's arrest, citizen's arrest. I mean, no, that's not going to fly. How many understand what I'm talking about? See, that's the same thing. Some people take a verse out of the scripture and just blow it up beyond what it's actually saying. Yes. You got to put it all together. What does the Bible say about everything? About it? What, read everything the Bible says about it. Yes. Let's, you rightly divide the word with the word, with other scriptures. What does other scripture say about that? Amen? Right. You know. Now, and I'm not going to give you examples, but just think about that, you know. A lot of things that guys have preached on prosperity over the years, and Brother Hagin tried to warn some of them years ago. He even wrote a book called The Midas Touch. He called in some of the guys that were preaching on prosperity, said, you call me your spiritual father, right? And they go, oh yeah, well, I have something to say to you about what you're preaching about prosperity. And he tried to bring some balance and say, let's just stick with the word. You know, they got us out there taking over all the neighborhoods, all the stores. We're going to own everything. We're going to run everything. Where in the world is that in the Bible? It's not in there. We're supposed to go over and preach the gospel to every creature. You know? And you know, and could God do things like it? Well, certainly could, you know. But they just got to make a blanket promise and tell everybody you're going to be millionaires and billionaires. And I'd like for it to be true. But I found out that there's a lot of God's people don't need that much money. That'll get them in trouble. Because the Bible says, John said, I pray above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, as you can handle it. Money, all money is a reflection of who you are. If I'd had $1 million, which used to that sound like that'd last forever, but boy, the way things are now, prices are, it doesn't go very far. I mean, I guess it does. I don't know, but it doesn't seem like it would. But my point is saying that if I'd had that back when in my late teens, early 20s, I'd have killed myself with it and everybody around me. How many know what I'm talking about? The lifestyle we lived, we'd have bought enough drugs and booze to finish everybody. It'd like a bomb went off around us. All of our friends would be dead and we'd be dead. So what happened? Well, they got blessed with money. Thank God we were so broke we couldn't buy everything we wanted to buy. How many of you are still believers that way? They're going around quoting, you know, God's going to make me a millionaire and a billionaire, and they don't even tithe. Can't handle $50, let alone $50 million. All right, this is good preaching. It's not, I'm getting some frowns, but it's good preaching anyway. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, I want you to go. I want to look at some things. We got to hurry up here, but I think I do want to look at this scripture because I want to show you something. You know, because how many believe we should work? I mean, you know, if you're not retired or something like that, or, you know, maybe you put your time in and you're done. Well, that's good. I'm glad you're done. Amen. You know, I hear people say, well, I'm never going to retire. Well, that's up to you. But if I was working a natural job, the first date I had available to get out of there, I'm gone. Amen. Maybe we look at things different, but I don't find any joy in getting up at 4 a.m, going to work. Okay, silence you are, you must love it. I'll wake you up tomorrow morning, 4 a.m, say, hey, get up, time for work. Pastor Jerry will already be up. Well, have me own father what I'm saying. But, But the Bible says God blesses what we put our hands to, see. So you have to put your hand to something for Him to have something, you know. But I want to show you something. We shouldn't just limit God to the natural side of blessing us. But I want to show you something here. In Matthew 17, we're talking about grace, right? Right? Financial grace. Look at Matthew 17 and verse 24. The Bible says, and when they were come to Capernaum, that's Peter and Jesus and his disciples, they that received tribute or tax money came to Peter and said, does not your master pay tribute or taxes? He said, yes. And when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or of strangers? Peter said, well, of strangers, Jesus said unto them, then are the children free. In other words, we don't owe them any taxes. We're children of Israel. notwithstanding or nevertheless, lest we should offend them, go into the sea, cast a hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when you have opened his mouth, you shall find a piece of money, and take and give unto them for me and thee. How many of you know, this is not the normal way you make money. I mean, this would be a cool way. Fish, open the fish, dump the money out, keep the fish, fry the fish, get another fish, more money out. How many think, I'm liking the, how many like fishing? I haven't been in years, but I used to love to fish, man. And that sounds like a really cool way to do it. But how many know this is a supernatural thing? Not every fish has money in its mouth. But when God says, you know, look a fish in the mouth, you should look a fish in the mouth because there's something in the mouth. So how many know that's unusual, isn't it? But it's in the Bible, and Jesus did it. And he did it to pay taxes. How many know he's still got supernatural ways to pay taxes? I don't suggest you tell the IRS, go fish and get my money, tax money. No, that, you'll go to jail. But how many of God's got supernatural ways? I've had supernatural provision that came supernaturally. Just God ways of doing it, doesn't he? Amen. Now, I wanted to say that because I don't want you to think that, of course, God blesses the work of our hands. We've got to put our hands to something, you know, and do something. And he'll add to that. He'll bless that. He'll give you power to get wealth, the Bible says. Deuteronomy 8:18, give you power to get it. But you've got to do the go-getting. Now, you're not to seek that. You're to seek the kingdom, but you still got to go out and do things, right? And so, you know what? I mean, you know, as much as I believe God, as much as I trust God, I could just say, you know what? I'm done, Pastor. I'm done working for the kingdom. You know what? I'm just going to put my feet up and fish out in the Ohio River the rest of my days. You know, it ain't going to be long until Miss Phyllis is going to be on me. Because she likes to eat. She likes nice, listen, she likes chocolate. She likes diamonds. Amen. So, she likes air conditioning. Right? She likes heat. Well, after a while, how many of it's going to dry? Why? Because I'm not putting my hand in anything. Right? Now, you know, there comes a time, you know, in the kingdom, I don't know you ever get retired as a minister, but people do in the natural. There comes a time, it's time to retire. Well, you put your hand to something. God's blessed it. But I want you to see there's more than that. There's supernatural, where God can bring supernatural things to you when you have needs. It's called grace. Isn't this grace? Peter didn't earn this. Jesus didn't earn it. This was a supernatural grace. A gift, a gratuity from God. Where did the fish get the money? God put it in its mouth. Either that, or it was on the bottom of the lake, and God said, fish, go pick it up. I don't know, but it's still supernatural. Amen? Now, look at this. Let me just give you the scripture on this, and then we'll read the other scripture. We're running out of time here, but let me give you this. I talked to you about it takes two things to access God's financial grace. It takes faith, and it takes you being a generous person. Now, I want to explain something to you here. Let's talk about faith. How many of Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? Now, when you break that down, one thing you could say about that verse is telling us that when we renew our mind, we find out the good, the perfect, and acceptable will of God. In other words, when you renew, you got to renew your mind that God wants to help you in this area if you're going to have faith for it. If you're going to listen to every unbelieving preacher that comes along and attacks anybody who says anything about prosperity, you know, you're just going to have to depend on your own self. That's all there is to it. Because you're casting God's grace to the side. Just like you might, if you listen to some preacher said, yeah, you don't need to get saved. We're all saved already. You listen to that, you're going to wind up in hell. There's all kinds of goofiness out there. You better listen to the Bible. The Lord is my shepherd. Everybody knows that scripture. Did you know the same guy that wrote that, his name was David, we quote that at funerals. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Also said in 1 Chronicles 29, all riches and honor come from thee. Yes. Sound like he was a prosperity preacher. Once again, I don't agree with all the prosperity preachers in America and some of the things they say. I've watched some of that stuff, and I'm thinking, no, you're out beyond the Bible. God didn't say he'd do that for everybody. Do you know there's even a gift in the Bible called giving?
Yep.
That God graces people. I've seen people like that, that God is blessing them, but the reason he's blessing because they're giving it away.
Amen.
Now, all of that can work for all of us to some extent, but I've seen people that were just anointed to do that.
Yeah.
Amen. I've read a story about a guy years ago. trying to think of his name now. Anyway, he was a business guy. He made heavy equipment. Letourneau, L.G. Letourneau, that's who it was. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing his name right, but the best I can. Letourneau, he was a heavy equipment operator. He's gone on to be with the Lord. But he told the Lord, he said, if you bless my business, I'll give you 10% of everything, not just personally, but his business. Everything that my business brings in, I'll give to you. God started blessing him. And then he said, then he went to 20%. Then he went to 30%. Then he went all the way up to 90%. He gave 90% of his business income away, and his business prospered. Matter of fact, some of you guys understand mining. Years and years ago, I don't remember what year this was, but it was when, you know, a lot of Alaska, well, of course, all of Alaska is still rough country, undeveloped country, but they were putting in roads and they just didn't have the right equipment. And they asked Mr. Letourneau, can you build us a piece of equipment to help us build roads in Alaska? He said, listen to these answers. Here's the spiritual guy. I'll have to pray about it. He prayed about it. God gave him an idea on a piece of machinery. You guys that are mining, we call it a turnipull. L.G. Letourneau. Anyway, that's the piece of equipment that God gave him the idea to build. When the engineers first built it, it wasn't working quite right. And so they looked at him and said, what's wrong? He said, I'll have to pray about it. He went behind the piece of equipment, began to pray, and he said, the Lord said, you got a bolt in the wrong place. You've engineered it just a little wrong. They fixed it and it worked right. Well, see, God began to bless this man. Amen? He began to bless him. But he was a blessing. He was a blessing. How many have ever heard of Hobby Lobby? The guy that owns that, Spirit Field. He said this. I forget where he lives at. Phyllis might remember. But anyway, what state it is. But he goes to a local church there, and his pastor does traveling. He does, you know, like I do some traveling, not, you know, some. But his pastor does traveling, and he got a jet to fly his pastor to these meetings. He said, I don't want my pastor flying the airlines. I'm thinking, come to my church, brother. Fly me to Lagodi. Pastor said, I have parachute out to get in. No, his pastor went places. You know, I can drive. Well, not every place, but most places I can drive to. But see, he was what? He was just blessing. His pastor, he was just bless his pastor, take care of his pastor because he loved the church, he loved the ministry, he loved God's kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
And of course, he's a blessed man. Amen. Now, all right. Let me talk to you about one final thing. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 11. Let's talk about this being generous, all right? All right, I got three or four all rights. That's enough for me. Let's go here. Proverbs chapter 11. We have to learn to be generous people. And, you know, at first you think, oh, well, I won't have enough. No, if you learn to be generous, you'll have more than enough. Because there was one preacher one time, and he was kind of a prosperity preacher himself. He said, give,
as shall be given.
and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shake it together, and it'll still run over. That was some preacher said that. His name was Jesus. I've heard people say, the idea of people thinking they can have what they say. I heard it from a preacher. He's a pretty good preacher. His name is Jesus. He said if you believed it, you could. Hallelujah. So I just kind of chuckled at some of these people criticizing. Hey, you're criticizing the Lord and Savior. He's the one that said that. Now look at this in Proverbs 11, verse 24. And this is the King James Version. It kind of reads a little bit different sometimes. It says, there is that scattereth yet increases. He gives away, but increases. There is that withholds more than is meet or right, but it tends to poverty. How many of those? You can hold more than is right. God's blessed you so you give away some things. Amen. Now, verse 25, the liberal sow shall be made fat. Now, in those days, fat meant, you know, you were made rich, blessed, anointed. It's talking about spiritually. And he that watereth shall be watered himself. Now, I like this. My cross-reference says in my Bible where it says the liberal sow, it says the sow of blessing. In other words, this becomes a part of who you are. You're just a giver. You don't go to a restaurant saying, oh my gosh, I hope they pay. The waitress lays the I don't know why they call it a check. You can't cash it. They lay the check down, you know. They lay the check down. And when the person's not looking, you slide it over to their side of the table. How many of that is not a generous soul? I said, that's not a generous soul. The generous soul wants to pull it your way. I've had people I've gone out to lunch with. See, I've watched some of you people. God's brought some of you people up financially since I've known you. And I've been out to lunch with some of you and had to fight you over who was going to pay for it. I have even told the waitress, verify this. I've even told the waitress before, they're lousy tippers. Do not give them the bill. I have said it. They're lousy tippers. Bring it to me. They don't tip well. You know, that old girl or guy, they'll bring it to you when you tell them, oh, yeah, I'll give it to you. See, that's the way we should be, right? We ought to, and I've had to fight some of you all, which is a good thing. It gets in your soul. In other words, listen, sometimes we think about giving, we think about church. This isn't of course that's included, but that's not what this is just talking about. Right. This is talking about this is your everyday life. Right. You might be in the grocery store and see somebody say, you know, you hear the scratching inside of you, pay for their groceries. Right. You don't even know them. And I'm telling you, sinners sometimes, they don't understand this. And they'll think, what do you want from me? I've tried to give sinners things, and they're like, what's up here? Nobody gives stuff away for nothing. God's people do. God so loved the world that he gave and didn't cost us anything. See, that's the nature of our Father. We're to be imitators of God. So when this is talking about the liberal soul, it's talking about this becomes a part of who you are. You're just looking to be blessed. You're not looking for somebody to bless you. You don't wake up in the morning looking for somebody to bless you. You wake up thinking, who can I be a blessing to? Yes. Who can I bless? Who can I help today? And it doesn't necessarily have to be money. It can be just natural things. But that's just constantly who you are. You're a giver. And I've seen that, you know, where sinners just don't understand that. But boy, I'll tell you what, then they find out you're for real. That's a witness. Amen. You know, they always think, well, if you do something for me, you'll expect me to do something for you. Right? But that's not the way we do it. We're not expecting you to do anything back for us. We got somebody. Jesus said, when your alms are done in secret, in other words, you're not boasting and bragging about it. He said, I'll reward you openly. We got someone to take care of our reward. Believe me, I don't want you rewarding me. I'd rather have him reward me. He's got more than you got. Amen. Come on, it's kind of like, do you want one of the teenagers blessing you or do you want Bill Gates blessing you? I'll take Bill Gates. I don't know that teenager's financial statement, but Bill Gates, I'm sure, is probably better. Listen to this. Isaiah 32:8 says this. This is the New King James. But a generous man devises generous things. He's thinking about doing something generous. And by generosity, he shall stand. Did you know Jesus was generous? Sure. Acts 10:38 is a scripture that we quote a lot in healing. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. The word good there means to be philanthropic or a philanthropist, somebody who blesses people. We haven't thought about that about Jesus, but we know he did because the Bible said when he sent somebody out one time, they thought he sent them out to, give to the poor. He was a blesser. Where'd the madman of Gadara get his clothes at? I never thought about that. Well, he was out there naked, right? Cutting himself with stones. When Jesus delivered him, he came to his right mind and was clothed. Where'd he get the clothes at? Jesus got them for him. Hallelujah. See, this is just everyday life. Am I getting through to you? See, if you're going to walk into grace, it can't just be thinking, okay, I'm a giver, I'm a giver at church. Well, that's great. That's part of it. That's a big part of it. But this is something, you don't just leave these doors and say, I'm done giving. I gave an offering today. I'm done for the week. Praise the Lord. No, this is who you are every day. Every day. Finally, one last scripture. You got time for it? Go to Ecclesiastes. We're close. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. I want to show you something about this, being generous and about being a giver, that Ecclesiastes talks about, and I'll close here in Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1. Do you have it? Okay, three of you. You got it now. Lunch is waiting. Verse 1, Ecclesiastes 11, cast your bread upon the waters, for you shall find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, also to eight, for you know not what evil shall come upon the earth. You better be given because evil comes on the earth, doesn't it? What's he saying? Giving's an insurance policy. Look, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. If that cloud gets full enough of rain, guess what? It's coming down. If a tree falls towards the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall be. If you're out, in your backyard or in the woods and you see a big tree starting to fall, you don't go up and say, wait a minute, I'm going to hold you up. No. How many know? Where it falls, where it wants to fall, it's going to fall. So, maybe we had that ice storm last winter. I was in bed one night. That night, and I'm laying there in bed, and all of a sudden I hear a pop and a crack and a bunch of ice falling. I thought, boy, a bunch of ice just fell off the roof. And I looked outside, I didn't see any trees, but the next day I found one of the trees, man, it popped. It fell over the fence. All right. So what is he saying by this? Well, you can't stop a tree from falling. You can't redirect it. If it starts to fall towards the north, that's where it's going to fall. If the clouds are full of rain, you can't stop it. It's going to rain. What's he saying? He's simply saying, sometimes trouble comes on the earth. You can't stop it. Recession comes. High prices come. It just happens, doesn't it? You're awful quiet, but if you can stop it, then go stop it. No, it just happens. What he did say is you can be prepared. You can have an insurance policy. Y'all with me? See, I have insurance policies. Why? Because sometimes things happen, right? Guess what? I got a life insurance policy. You know why I got a life insurance policy? Because I know this. If the Lord tarries, I'm going to pass on. So when I do pass on, I want my wife to be a rich girl. She can go have fun, buy her convertible. Say, thank God. I'm glad. I'm sad he's gone, but boy, thank God, I'm living good. I wouldn't bring him back if I could. Oh, he wouldn't want to come back. Well, you know, what is it? It's a guard, man, isn't it? It's a guard against things that happen, right? Come on, are you with me? Why do you got car insurance? In case you hit somebody. Right? Phyllis just got rear-ended like, a few months ago by somebody here in town. Thank God they had insurance. They paid for it. All right? So what's that? What's he saying? Your giving's an insurance. Things come on the earth. Things come in our life. Things come at us. But if we're givers, we got an insurance policy. We're covered. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Woo! Finish reading it now. Look with me. Verse 4. He that observes the wind is not going to sow. He that regards the clouds is not going to reap. So if you just observe things, you'll never sow. You'll never reap. He goes verse 5, and who knows what is the way of the spirit or how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so, you know not the works of God who make all things. In the morning, sow your seed. In the evening, withhold not your hand. For you know not which one will prosper, either this or that, or whether they're both alike be good. What is he saying? Just keep sowing. You don't know what seed is going to produce your breakthrough. One of those seeds is going to be a breakthrough for you. Amen. We reap off all of them. We know that. But there's a breakthrough coming. Amen. So I like to think of it this way. Me being generous, I'm just paying my insurance policy. Hallelujah. Anything comes my way, I'm covered. And how many know God's got you covered? You know how insurance companies, on their commercials, say, you're covered? And you call them, that's not covered. I thought you had me covered. Well, partially covered. Well, you lied about it. How many know? How many ever had that happen? No, that's not covered. Huh. But God's got you covered. Amen? Did you get something this morning? How many can say there's such thing as fine? That's just a few scriptures. We could look much more. How many say there's such thing as financial grace? Sure. Absolutely. Amen. It's all in the Bible. Amen?
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.